This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
WWE Universe, the D-Loop Podcast is now a brand affiliate of WWE Shop with Fanatics. Get all of your latest merchandise from your favorite WWE superstars and wear them proud. So if it's CM Punk, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, L.A. Knight, the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, or legends like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Bret the Hitman Hart, again, you can get all of your favorite merchandise over at wrestling.thedlupodcast.com. Again, that's wrestling.thedlupodcast.com to get all of your favorite merchandise at WWE Shop with Fanatics. This podcast is a Believe Network and Luciete production.
Welcome to another edition of the D-Loop Podcast, brought to you by Believe Network. I'm your host, Derek T. Lewis. I hope all is well with all of you guys listening in. Again, I want to thank each and every one of you who subscribe and who listen and tune in every single week and, you know, just continue to grow and grow and grow. But I'm flying solo this week as I do the recap from this past weekend's WWE Backlash France. And before I get into the main card and everything, I wanted to talk about the kickoff show with Jackie Redmond, CM Punk, and Big E. I gotta be honest. Now, obviously, you know, Punk will be returning from injury soon, but I just love the dynamic with those three, especially him and Big E, and I'm really enjoying, you know, the work and also the realism in, you know, kickoff shows. You know how we see the NFL kickoff show, we see the NBA, you know, kickoff shows and everything, and it's just so, it's very knowledgeable people that is on the panel and, you know, really understanding, and it doesn't feel forced, it doesn't feel scripted, you know. There, I mean, heck, Big E was dropping New Japan, you know what I mean, and talking about Tama Tonga, and I just thought it was cool, the fact that we can, you know, mention other companies in a positive light in regards to people's history and where they come from and that type of thing. But that was the kickoff show, and obviously the main card happens. There was no dark match, obviously. And I got to tell you, you know, the MVP of this show was the fans, because throughout the entire night, I mean, they were just so, I can't even describe it to you. Like, it would just, you could just hear the passion, you know, from the collective group of fans that were in attendance that, you know, that night, you know, obviously afternoon for us. But of course, you know, it took place in Lyon, France, and I'm at the LDLC Arena. You know, it was 11,628. That was a complete sellout. They went down with a very, very basic setup, you know what I mean, to make sure that every seat was filled in that arena, and they went ahead and did that. So, of course, the first match, you know, was a tag match with Randy Orton and Kevin Owens taking on, you know, the Bloodline, which consists of Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga, who I was just mentioning before. And let me just say this. I never heard a crowd sing Randy Orton's theme song word for word before, like these fans did in France. I couldn't believe it. It was incredible. Like I said in a few minutes ago, you know, just, you could just hear the passion, you know, of those fans, you know, appreciating the product and appreciating, you know, every superstar that came down the aisle that was in the ring to perform. And of course, you know, after Kevin Owens and Randy Orton get in the ring, now we're talking about, you know, the Bloodline coming down, and they start fighting right away. Like the match starts and they're fighting. And then out of the blue, because I mean, I'm thinking, well, what the hell are you seeing referees, you're seeing officials, you know, come down, and you just don't know what's going to go on with this match. And then next thing you know, you see SmackDown GM Nick Aldis change the match to a street fight. Oh boy. And you know, they were fighting all over the arena. They were fighting, you know, on the floor and, you know, in the crowd. And I mean, it was just, you know, it was fisticuffs. And I mean, it was the way you wanted an event to start off, you know, to, hey man, it's balls to the wall. And that's exactly what this was. But, you know, of course, when Kevin Owens is getting ready to pin, I believe it was Solo. Of course, the referee gets yanked out of the ring. It was someone dressed in black, and it wasn't a hoodie this time, but it was a black t-shirt. And who was it? Tama Tonga's brother, Tonga Loa. The other half of the Gorillas of Destiny from New Japan, who were members of the Bullet Club. And I'm just like, oh man. And it's crazy because me and Gabby were just talking about this in a previous episode. And we were like, you know, Tonga Loa, you know, but he's under contract with New Japan. Not the case. This man was a free agent. And we all thought it was going to be Jacob Fatu that was going to join the fray. And we were all wrong because no one saw Tonga Loa, you know, showing up. And nonetheless, you know, he does his damage. And because again, this is a street fight. It's all legal. And of course, the Bloodline gets the pin. And what's crazy is that you see a very confused Paul Heyman, because, you know, in like I said, the story, he didn't know that Tonga Loa was going to be showing up. So with this whole Bloodline saga, this Bloodline drama, this is going to be very interesting going into the summer months, you know, and then going into the fall, obviously, because they I'm pretty sure they got a special treat for us, and we're all here for it. So I'm excited. But again, the Bloodline does get the win. I mean, it was a 19 minutes, 25 seconds. I mean, again, it was everything you wanted, you know, in an opening match, you know, to get to really hook the fans, you know, both, you know, there in the arena and, of course, watching live on the award-winning WWE Network on Peacock. All right. Well, next, it was the triple threat match for the WWE Women's Championship with the champion Bayley defended against Naomi and Tiffany Stratton. And let me just say this, you know, a couple months ago, you know, during the, you know, when, you know, I was talking about Elimination Chamber and recapping it, you can check it out in the archives at the dlupodcast.com. And I was talking about the star of the Women's Elimination Chamber match was Tiffany Stratton. And it's the same thing for this match. Tiffany Stratton is going to be a future world champion sooner than later. Once again, this girl has only been wrestling for 2 years. And looks like she's been in it. And she's been wrestling for years. For many, many years. And, you know, I still say she does have the prettiest moveset ever. That's the name of her move. But the other two women, the other two combatants, you know, obviously Bayley and Naomi being seasoned veterans in there, you need, you know, those veterans as far as guidance and making sure that the match goes smoothly. And they did. They even did the 1D on Tiffany Stratton, which I thought was cool. And, you know, Bayley and Naomi, now that they had eliminated Tiffany, she's out of the ring, then they start going at it. And Naomi attempts a pin, but then of course Bayley reverses it, pins Naomi 1-2-3 to retain the championship. And I didn't know what the match was going to end like that, but that just goes to show you that you don't need to use your finisher, your signature finisher, I might add, to win a match. Like, it reminds me of Bret Hart, you know, many, many years ago when Bret was just, you know, a stickler for detail in realizing that he doesn't need to use the sharpshooter to win matches. I love that. I admire that. And of course, you know, Bayley and Naomi, you know, they hug and, you know, and the champion Bayley, you know, celebrates in the ring. And may I say, you know, once again, when I'm talking about the fans, you know, every time that somebody would kick out at two, you know, Simple Mandu, if I'm not mistaken, is what they were chanting. Simple Mandu, meaning only two. That's what it means in French. So it was, like I said, it was very, very interesting just hearing, you know, fans from halfway across the globe and how they, you know, absorb wrestling and, you know, and how they appreciate it. Like I said, I really, really enjoyed this show.
This episode of the D-Loop Podcast is brought to you by Goalie Nutrition. As someone who's used Goalie for quite some time, I can tell you that they're not only very good, but they're very beneficial. My favorite are the Super Green Gummies. The Super Green Gummies are uniquely crafted with a spectrum of essential nutrients such as vitamins A, B12, folic acid, and theamine. It supports a healthy liver function, healthy nervous and immune system, digestive health, a boost to your metabolism, and overall health and well-being. There are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or colors from artificial sources. They're vegan-friendly, gluten-free, and gelatin-free. All loyal listeners of the D-Loop Podcast get a special 10% discount at checkout. Go to goalie.com, use promo code D-L-E-W. That's goalie.com, use promo code D-L-E-W.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
But, of course, next was the World Heavyweight Championship with the champion Damian Priest taking on main event Jey Uso. By the way, side note, Damian Priest, and as I mentioned, I sing his praises on his show a lot, you know, because he is a graduate of the world-famous Monster Factory. If you go to Monster Factory's social media outlets on Twitter/X, Facebook, and Instagram, you're going to see a video from 2014 when Damian Priest, who was then known as Punishment Martinez, had initially got his first WWE tryout. And he's in the gym at the factory and he's talking to the camera about his preparation and everything. So I beg of you, I urge you, go to it's for Monster Factory on Twitter, X, and Instagram, but of course just Monster Factory on Facebook, and the video, you'll be able to see it right there. But he's in a green Monster Factory tank top. He has a New York Yankees beanie on, and he really goes into detail on his past, you know, his struggles, and how he was able to get himself back in shape and, you know, get ready for that trial. It was really, really cool watch. But anyways, you know, obviously, you know, in this match, Jey Uso comes out first. And that has to be one of the best entrances. Obviously, that was the best entrance of the night. But I got to tell you, that might be one of the best entrances of the year. Jey Uso didn't come down the aisle. No. He came through the crowd. And when the lights were off and when, you know, he was doing the hands up and down, everyone had their cell phones out and they had the lights on. And all you saw was a sea of people. And I love the wide shot that they did of it. Everyone going up and down with their hands, you know, to his song. And they're singing, "It's Just Me, Oos. Day One Is Just Me." They're singing it and right behind them. It gives me Diamond Dallas Page vibes from like 97, 98. When DDP was the self-proclaimed people's champion during that time. Jey Uso, I think, now granted, we all know Cody, how I feel about Cody, and he is the guy. But if there was a 1A, there's a 1 and 1A, I would have to say right now in regards to popularity, I would have to say the 1A is Jey Uso. He is so beloved by everybody. You know what I mean? And I'm just hoping that this can lead to big things down the road. But anyways, he goes, you know, obviously Damian Priest comes down, you know, do the entrance, you know, they do the introductions. Huge shout out to Samantha Irvin, who always does a tremendous job, you know, as the ring announcer. I believe she'll be the ring announcer for PLEs going forward, if I'm not mistaken. And also huge shout out to Alicia Taylor, who got promoted to the main roster. She will be now the SmackDown ring announcer. So huge kudos to Alicia Taylor for that. But again, it's everything you want in a match. You know, with this one, it was the world title on the line. There were many near falls in this match. There was one instance where I literally thought I think Jey Uso was really gonna win this title. I really did. I thought that he was gonna win the championship. But of course, the Judgment Day comes down. There's Dom Mysterio. There's Finn Balor, and of course, there's JD McDonagh. And I think you can hear on the live feed. I think when Damian Priest says something about JD McDonagh's big large head, his big fat head or something like that, that was hilarious. And I literally thought that Uso, I mean, because I think Uso did hit the splash, and of course JD McDonagh puts Damian Priest's foot on the rope. And you know, like I said, we're still going back and forth. And then of course Damian Priest does the South of Heaven chokeslam from the top and retains the World Heavyweight Championship. But then the Judgment Day starts jumping Jey Uso. And Damian Priest was like, "Hey, guys, what are you doing?" And he told him to stop. And I think at one point, he had Finn Balor by the throat and was like, "Hey, stop. Enough's enough." And this is definitely going to be some interesting storytelling for the next couple of weeks, because I have a feeling that Damian Priest is going to get kicked out of the Judgment Day. And this can set up Finn Balor versus Damian Priest, probably at Clash at the Castle, I believe, I'm thinking. They're over in Scotland. I could totally see that match happening. I don't know if they're going to get the SummerSlam, because I believe the SummerSlam match for the title, I think, is going to be reserved for Mr. McIntyre. So let's stay tuned for that. The co-main event is for the women's tag team titles. Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair, you know, challenged the Kabuki Warriors with Dakota Kai. And as I mentioned in my notes, I was just talking about how I love the fact that they put Jade with Bianca, who's been on the main roster now for quite a long time. And really just getting Jade comfortable, getting her acclimated to the WWE style or just their flow of doing things. I'm not saying AEW's flow is bad or whatever the case, because that's not even it. AEW has their philosophy, WWE has theirs, and it's cool. You know, but I think really getting Jade comfortable, you know, in there. And I guess, like I said, it was, they hit the right spots. You know, I love the heat that the Kabuki Warriors were getting on, you know, Jade at one point. And of course, she would give Bianca the hot tag and vice versa. The spot was showing. And I think to me, and like I said, I love how they're booking Jade as this giant. And I'm not talking about, you know, not like Andre the Giant or anything like that, but I'm just talking about using her stature to her advantage. I saw something where they said Jade Cargill doesn't look like a superhero. Superheroes look like Jade Cargill. And that is the God's honest truth. She, like I said, both of them are in tremendous shape. And Jade does this incredible transition with, and I got to give Kairi Sane props too for, you know, being able to do the work and making this look pretty superb, and how getting in, you know, having Kairi was on her shoulders, and then she brought her, you know, brought her down, and then of course she's doing her finish on Kairi Sane. But of course, Bianca Belair and Asuka were the two legal combatants in the ring. Bianca does the KOD on Asuka, who landed on Kairi Sane. And of course, Bianca covers Asuka to get the pin. And new WWE Women's Tag Team Champions, Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair. And let me just say this. I would love this title reign to go all the way to January, Royal Rumble. Because I think, and Gabby mentioned this last week too, that, you know, hey man, like, put some respect on those tag titles, you know what I mean? And really make them mean something. You know, I'm glad the new regime, you know, under Paul Levesque, you know, they're making tag team wrestling relevant again on the men's side. And I hope that they are consistent and doing it on the women's side as well. So we shall see, you know, how this all plays out with the women's tag titles. But I'm hoping that, you know, we can get some stellar matches, you know, out of Bianca and Jade Cargill. And of course, next is the main event for the Undisputed WWE Championship. It's Cody Rhodes defending against the phenomenal AJ Styles. And the fans chanting for AJ, because there is a song in France called Phenomenal, and they were chanting it at AJ out of pure respect. But they were singing Cody Rhodes' full theme to the point where after the music stopped playing for Samantha Irvin to do the ring introductions, they literally finished the verse of the chorus and then applauded in appreciation for Cody. That was a beautiful, beautiful sound and sight. You know, that wrestling, I tell you, wrestling, I said this on Twitter. I said, pro wrestling could probably cure world peace. They could be the remedy for world peace. I'm serious. Because people from all walks of life, religions, you know, different backgrounds, whatever, love professional wrestling. Seriously. But, of course, you know, this was, to me, what I liked about this match was the fact that, yeah, there was very little build-up, because obviously, you know, we're just coming off of WrestleMania, and of course, there is a tournament, you know, to determine, you know, the number one contender for the, you know, for the WWE Championship. AJ does beat LA Knight, you know, to do it, to earn that right. So it wasn't a lot of time. So obviously the night before, you know, on SmackDown, you know, they're doing their in-ring promo, and then AJ stepped before they do, they could know, again, they both acknowledged they were, you know, both leaders of the Bullet Club, and they try to do the two sweet together, and AJ slaps Cody and gets out of the ring, which kind of sets up, okay, the anticipation for the match. So like I said, they had very little time to really give backstory, but kudos to Michael Cole for acknowledging, you know, their lineage to New Japan and both being former members of Bullet Club. Side note, there are seven former members of Bullet Club now contracted with WWE now that Tongaloa is a member of the WWE roster now. Food for thought. Just remember this episode, guys. But the emphasis of this match to me was just pure wrestling, and there was storytelling in the match, but because obviously with Roman's matches, and this is no knock on Roman, Roman was very slow and methodical in his matches, a lot of storytelling, but I think with Cody does wants to put the emphasis back on the wrestling end of it as well, and putting on these stellar matches, which I think is cool, and we get to see our WWE champion do so, which I think is, it's really, really cool to see that. But, you know, a couple of close finishes, you know, by AJ, you know, where I'm just like, whoa, Cody's not losing the title, obviously, but because we all knew that Cody, you know, was going to retain for the most part because Cody is the guy. But AJ put on one hell of a performance. I enjoyed the match. You know, of course, Cody hitting the crossroads to get the pin and retain the undisputed WWE Championship. But if I was to grade, you know, this event, I mean, it would have to give a solid A. Because on paper, their fans were concerned. Oh my God, there's only five matches. But considering all of the elements involved, when you talk about the fan involvement, when you talk about a match, turning into a street fight, you know, Hunter really gave everyone their time. Like, most of the matches, you figured the shortest match was the women's match, and that was 13 minutes and 10 seconds. So everyone got their time, you know, in the match, you know, to tell their in-ring stories. And I forgot to mention this, that I feel as though now that this is the time to introduce a mid-card women's title, because, and I know Undertaker on his podcast was talking about, maybe WWE should introduce the Women's Intercontinental Championship, and I think so, because right now, obviously, and Gabby and I talked about this before, putting it on a veteran would be ideal, especially like a Naomi or someone like that that has the credibility. But I feel as though, man, Tiffany Stratton or even someone like Zoe Stark could benefit from a inter-promotional within WWE, of course. They could defend it across SmackDown, NXT, and Raw. You know, defending the Women's Intercontinental Championship. That would be interesting if that was the case. But like I said, I give this event a solid A. You know, when you talk about the fan involvement, when you're talking about just the quality of the matches itself, no one phoned it in. Nobody phoned it in, and everyone gave it their absolute all in each match. And this is gonna lead to some bigger things down the road. We're gonna tie the bow on the Backlash recap show, and remind you all that this coming Saturday you can catch me at the world famous Monster Factory for Evolution of Champions. Tickets are on sale now at monsterfactory.org. Of course, you can get your tickets, you know, the day of the show. Bell time is at 7 p.m. sharp, so the doors do open at 6, so you can get there early, you know, get a good seat and watch a great night of professional wrestling. And like I said, we have the future stars of the wrestling business at the world famous Monster Factory. You know, of course, my social media, you can follow the show now. Let me just tell you something. The show is we're growing. You know, now you can get on social media. It's the DLU podcast on Twitter/X and Instagram. And just look up the DLU podcast on Facebook and you'll be able to follow the show on all social media outlets. There's a link tree in the bio on Instagram and Twitter and also on Facebook. So you'll be able to follow get the links to the social media pages for the DLU podcast. But of course, yours truly, I am on social media at The Real DT Lou, with the exception of Facebook, which is Derek T. Lewis official page. You can shop, okay? Get to the shop. It's pwt.derektlewis.com. My other store is shop.derektlewis.com. My single, Espacion, with Angie Stars, is still out there. Make sure you stream it. Make sure you watch the music video on YouTube, Vivo, Apple Music, and Tidal. Well, I'm going to get out of here, and as I always say, no matter what it is you do in life, always remember to make it count. See you next time.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.